Welcome to Playful Joy, a parenting podcast without the guilt. I'm Charlene Nicole, and if you're a new listener, I am a mother of two children, 7 and 3, and I am a teacher and an early childhood education specialist. That's the certification you take to become a preschool teacher or a daycare owner, things like that. It's very focused on child development for the first 7 years, that training and practicum. And I started this podcast because I've had these conversations with colleagues, friends, other teachers, and I always come away from them having learned something, and the other person seems to have learned something too. And I walk away thinking, oh, I wish other people with a child in kindergarten or with a child with anxiety or whose child is struggling to read could have heard that interaction. And I just think sometimes it would help a lot of people to hear that kind of back and forth. So this is my way of sharing some things that I've learned and just basically my journey as a parent with all the bumps and bruises and failures along the way. Today, Cade, my almost 4-year-old son, swallowed a bolt. Yep, you heard me right. He swallowed a bolt, a for real. It's a screw, but the bottom isn't sharp. It's flat across. He came to me and said, "Mommy, I swallowed a screw." And the look on his face was scared and nervous. And as soon as he walked up to me, I knew it was big. It was something. And I just said, What's the matter, buddy? And then he said, "I swallowed a screw." And he picks up everything. And we all know kids put everything in their mouth. So I shouldn't feel bad. This happens to everyone. The nurse at the emergency told me that her daughter swallowed so much Play-Doh one time that it obstructed her airway. Yeah. She's a nurse. And I'm a fully qualified, you know, person who works with young children. I know not to let them get anything little. He's almost 4. And I didn't even know that he had that bolt. Then I asked him where he found it, and he said, in the sand at the end of the driveway, and it was under the sand, and I dug into the sand to find it. So even had I walked by the bolt, I probably wouldn't have seen it to pick it up because it was in the sand. Who knows how he even found it? And somehow, there's still guilt there. There's still upset and fear and wondering how I could have not let it happen and all those things that we tell ourselves. So I went through that today, and he's okay. He's just letting it pass right through. And the doctors and nurses at emergency were so amazing and kind and helpful and explained everything and talked to him and then talked to me when he was too shy or nervous to talk to them. And I can't thank them enough, but yeah, we'll see. And now I get to look through his poop. Yep. He has to poop into a strainer, and then I have to wear some gloves and squish through it till that bolt passes, or else he has to get another basically full like chest stomach x-ray, which who wants that radiation in their little bodies? Don't want that to happen again. So yeah, that's the fun I have coming in the next couple of days. No one tells you this when you become a parent. No one tells you one day you might have to search through their poop. And but you do, because you love them and you don't want any more harm to come to them, even when you can't stop what happened from happening. And that's what I want to talk about today. Just that realization that comes over and over and over again, that you can't protect them from pain. You can't protect them from hurt, whether it's feelings or physical. You can't protect them from disappointment and all the things. you can't stop it all. And we know this. We know you can't put them in a bubble, and everyone says it, but that knowing is heavy, because when you saw that little newborn that you'd been waiting 40 weeks to meet, and your whole body, does every fiber of your being, every hormone that's racing through you screams, protect, protect, protect. It's your only job at that point. Just protect them, keep them safe, fed. And it's hard to shut that off. I mean, that's all you do for those first, you know, when they're just tiny. And then it's kind of, you're so together all the time, it's tough to see them as separate from you. And, you know, you carry them everywhere. They're almost a part of you for that first phase. And then they start to crawl, and they literally crawl away from you. And then they start to walk, and they walk away from you. And just tonight I had this thought that's the point that we have to start letting them go. That's the part where we have to start realizing that they're separate, that they're not us. And it sounds ridiculous, but it's hard. That quote that says something like, there goes my heart walking around outside my body, that's what it's like. But if you don't start separating then and being okay with them falling down and being okay with them getting hurt, it just gets harder and harder the older they get. And I just realized tonight that maybe that's nature's way of teaching you, right? Like, yes, they were in your arms for the first however many months. They were almost a part of you for this many months. And now they're crawling away. Now they're walking away. And if you've ever run after a tiny little toddler, you know that if they walk or run away from you, they think it's a game and it's funny. And if you chase after them, they run faster. They run farther. They just keep going. But if you don't, if you let them go, they come back. Because it's like this invisible circle, maybe, or just length that they have, that they'll go so far. But they know that you're their safety. They know that you're there to keep them happy and healthy and loved. So they don't go too far. They go as far as they're comfortable, and that's different for every child. And then there's a parking lot, so sometimes you do have to chase them. But if you're in a humongous park and your toddler's running away, if you just watch them go, they usually come back. They usually go so far, and then a stranger walks up and spooks them, or they feel that pull and they come back. And I realized tonight that's true always. The more we try to keep them close, the more the farther they go away. And then I thought, maybe that's why they scream no at two. I mean, it's developmentally when they start seeing themselves as separate from you, and they're like, no, I can make this decision. No, I don't want the red cup. And they're flexing that muscle of independence. And maybe that's the terrible twos are to really separate us. Like, okay, nature says, if you haven't learned this yet, we're going to really make them something tough to deal with. We're going to make them hard to handle at two. So you start to separate. And maybe that's nature's way of helping us with that little separation that we all need to do. And I think we know that we need to let kids make their own mistakes. We know that we need to let that toddler fall down. And we know that we need to be there for our kids, but not clean up their messes in metaphorically, not call the principal because your child had a problem with one other child one time. And that's not out of the parents. There are parents that do that, that a child has a problem with another child and they call the principal right away. Just one problem, one time, not a repeating pattern type of thing. And And that's not, we all kind of, I think most of us know now that that's not a good thing to do, that we should talk to our child about the problem they're having and be there for them and not try to solve it. But what I don't think is as apparent is that you could be hurting them by helping them. As in, you could be hurting that toddler's development by always being there to catch them when they literally fall physically. And you could be hurting that five-year-old when you're there to solve every problem, when you're there to jump in at every moment of struggle. I mean, for me, this is Audrey's reading, my daughter's reading. That's what she struggles with. That's what she doesn't want to do. That's what she doesn't feel confident in. And I think in part it's because I was trying to help. I was trying to teach her. I was trying to fix it. I was trying. I was talking to her teachers. And when I just stopped, she started to do it. But that's tough for me. And then I started to get involved again. And then she started to pull away again. And I just realized it's exactly like the toddler running away. I just need to let her go struggle. Let her figure out that other kids in her class can read different things than her. Let her figure out that, let a friend tell her how amazing this one book is, so that's so bad that she wants to learn to read it. I have to let her figure it out. I have to let her struggle. And that's tough. That's the hard thing. Physical hurt, you know, emotional hurt, to watch our kids in pain is, I mean, it's the worst. And that's, I just never realized that trying to be helpful could be hurting. And I think we all do it in a suggestion way as well, or I know that I do. Like say your child's making a lemonade stand with their friend and they're into it, they're doing it, they're making a sign, they're going to sell lemonade, they're all excited. And of course they need your help a little bit to make the lemonade or buy the supplies, things like that. But when we start coming in with our own suggestions, I feel like each suggestion is a chip off of their grand plan. You know, like, well, if you made the sign taller, more people could see it. Yeah, it's a harmless suggestion. But I feel like by saying that, you're suggesting that their way isn't, it's not good enough. And so sometimes I think just we need to check in and be like, is this a helpful? Do they need this suggestion, or can they figure it out on their own? Can they make their own lemonade stand and then figure out next time that they should have made the sign taller because someone down the street said, oh, we couldn't see your sign? Or, you know, that inquiry learning in teaching. And it's when children are looking into a question and they figure out the answer on their own. Like they come up with their own question and then they answer it. So in that case, the question is, how do you make a successful lemonade stand? And then they figure out all the answers by making mistakes. And we all know that's the way you learn. But I think if we check in and say, do they need this suggestion right now? And it's such a place of love. You want to help. You want them to feel successful in their lemonade stand. You want them to have a fun day. You want it to be a good experience for them. It all comes from a place of love. But I think if we just step back and watch them struggle sometimes and say, oh, I'm here if you need any help. And then wait until they come to you for help, which is the hard part, because if you're me, you just want to jump in there and help out. But we have to let them struggle and then just be there when they come for help. And that's a way to offer help without smothering them. So if it's that example with the parent who calls the principal right away, what if they had the conversation with their child about, well, you talk about so-and-so bothering you a lot. What can you do to solve the problem? What do you think? What steps have you taken so far? What have you done so far to figure it out? You know, get some information, give them a little push in the right direction. Just be there. And that's the hardest thing in the world, I think, just to be there while they struggle. And then just to hit this home a little more, I watched Glennon Doyle Melton on YouTube, and it's called First the Pain, Then the Rising, her talk. And she says, is it possible that we are trying to protect our children from the one thing that will allow them to become the people we dream they'll be? And her point is, the struggle is what makes them stronger. The struggle is what makes them more resilient. The frustration is what makes them persevere. And you're taking that away if you insert little suggestions, if you overhelp, I guess is what I'm saying. So just let this sink in one more time. Is it possible that we are trying to protect our children from the one thing that will allow them to become the people we dream they'll be? She goes on, Is it possible we all feel like failures because we have the wrong job description? So she's talking about parents there. Have we given ourselves the wrong job description? Because it was never our job, nor our right, to protect our children from their pain. Our job is to point them directly towards it and say, baby, that was meant for you. And I see your fear, and it's real, and it's big. But I see your courage, and it's bigger. That's the end of her quote. And it's amazing. And she's right. And we just have to keep learning it over and over and over. You don't need to fix it. It's not your job. I've learned it and learned it, and it keeps falling away again. And I just have to keep reminding myself, because it's freeing if you let it be. It's everything. It's my husband's quote of lead them and feed them. That's your job. Just lead them. Just guide them. Just be there. Walk beside them on the path of their life, for lack of a better metaphor. Don't walk in front of them and be that lawnmower parent, pushing every problem aside, making way, making their path incredibly easy. I mean, no one to step in and no one to step aside. That's all we can do. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to email me about this episode or about any other thing, I would love to hear from you. It's playfuljoypodcast@gmail.com. And I have a new Facebook page. It's under Charlene Nicole. And there's my podcast picture that's on my podcast is on the Facebook page, so you can check that out. And on Twitter, it's Playful Joy Pod. On Instagram, it's @PlayfulJoyPodcast. And if you enjoyed this episode or any of the episodes, please like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And just in closing, my son is doing fine, still great. And I'll let you know if and when, maybe on Instagram, the bolt resurfaces. And I might start, if you have emails about something that you did that you never thought you'd have to do for your child, I would really like to have a feature called Today Somewhere a Parent, and then fill in the blank. Because the end of that sentence for me today was, somewhere today, a parent squished poop through a strainer because she loves her son so much. And he's been dramatic. You know, he's learned his lesson. Don't worry. We don't let him just put anything in his mouth, and we don't let him play with bolts. This was a one-off. Oh my goodness. And such a learning experience. I look forward to hearing from you. And thanks for listening.